Welcome to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And we're delighted that you're joining us. It's been a little while. Sorry, y'all.
We're sorry. It's been busy.
It's been busy. We're gonna try a new rhythm of trying to do these on Tuesday mornings. But bear with us. We're adjusting and navigating this as best we can. We do love doing this and enjoy it as part of our ministry here. So
we do.
So bear with us in this season of expectant hope and stress. Also known as Holy Week.
Welcome to Holy Week. Which, good news. All right, today, sunshine. Yesterday, it was like 50.
I know, the snow is melting. The snow banks are shrinking.
Yeah. Today, warmish, too.
Warmish, yeah.
Maybe not quite as warm as yesterday, but there's hope on the horizon.
There is hope on the horizon. Yeah.
Hope. I'm mostly hoping for us for Sunday, so for our beach worship. Sunrise worship.
Yeah, at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah. I don't want to freeze to death, so I don't want it to be super cold.
You're not going to freeze. It won't be as bad as it was like 3 years ago. That was terrible.
Yeah, when our hands froze and we're like, oh.
Yeah. So spring is kind of here. There's some crocuses. I saw those the other day popping up in the sunshine. So, So Easter is here, which is late this year. It falls different times, different years. So
it's like the equinox or something.
Yeah,
about
it's really
moons.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's it shifts. So the latest it can be is essentially close to late April, and we're in mid-April. So we're about as late as it gets. I think the latest it's been that I can recall is like the 24th or something at one point. So, but like late. It is about as late as it can be, and which in some ways is interesting because here in the UP, we finally have some signs of spring, which is kind of lovely with thinking about resurrection and hope and life.
It fits the theme a lot better.
It does than the bleak midwinter of March.
Yeah.
Which is the earliest that it can happen is mid-March. So it's that tension, but it is Holy Week. And so this week we journey to the cross and to the grave and then come to an empty tomb by Sunday morning. But it's a long week of scripture. It's a long week of worship services. For those of you around or tuning in online, there's services at 6:30 p.m. on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. The Friday one's ecumenical. It's really cool that we're doing that again this year. Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock on Saturday, in person only. And then Sunday we have three services, 6:30 at the beach and 8:30, 10:30. But like, so there's a lot going on before we get to the resurrection story. But for the sake of podcast today, we're just going to leap ahead to Easter.
We're going straight to the resurrection
story. It doesn't mean we're not going to talk a little bit about some of those other pieces that fit into this. But for the sake of also not reading you a massive amount of scripture, we're just going
to... You got to tune into Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday for the whole story.
For the whole story, yeah. And it's worth doing so, especially right now, I would say, in the state of the world, that Holy Week has a depth and a weight to it, but also an accompaniment, an incarnational reality of God understanding the struggles of the world. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, that hits home really well this year.
Yeah.
With war going on, with pandemic still lingering, growing again in different areas, but the challenges. So I don't know. It feels very real.
There's this underlying knowledge of hope in the midst of something that is deeply tragic and dark and violent and just deeply sad.
Yeah. So I'm gonna read the Easter story from this year's cycle in the lectionary, which means that we're in Luke's gospel on the 24th chapter.
Luke.
We'll talk a little bit about this, but then we'll also tie back in some of the movements and the pieces in the story related to Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and kind of how we get to Easter morning. Because I think it's powerful to talk about that this year. And also, my guess is you as a listener, you know these stories. The Easter story is not new to most of us.
Probably not.
But it is always new because it's always at a different time in our own lives and in the state of the world. And it hits us in different ways and different pieces have different meaning. So I think unpacking some of that together might be helpful.
Yeah.
So
let's jump in.
Luke 24. Mm-hmm. So this is Luke 24 verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I just want to point out that unlike some of the other gospels, we don't see Jesus right away, right? Like, so the Easter story here is about an empty tomb. We got to get a little further into Luke to actually have Jesus appear, right, mm-hmm. on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
So first off, that's just kind of an interesting choice of the author of Luke, that the main focus at the tomb and with the disciples originally is disbelief, struggle to believe the women, mm-hmm. and an empty tomb.
Yeah. Well, and also those men in dazzling clothes.
Right, yeah.
The angels.
Angels, right? Whatever we want to call mm-hmm. them, you know. Mr. Clean, sparkly heads. So, yeah. So it's interesting to think about what is Luke focused on here?
Mm-hmm.
What is important to Luke as a storyteller? Well, the first thing I think is important to point out is that the women are showing up to a tomb prepared to deal with a stinky body, right? Like
They're anointing. So we get kind of the continuation of the anointing story that we had about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Where Mary anoints Jesus's feet and he says, "She's anointing me for my burial." And
right. It's a continuation. It's also an acknowledgement of death.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in some ways, Luke tees us up in chapter 24 with being like, Jesus was dead to begin with. Right. Like
mm-hmm. death is real. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's Jesus is dead.
Yeah.
And that's what the women are expecting. Mm-hmm. They are expecting to anoint, to continue this acknowledgement of Jesus's death. And then they show up and we have two figures who are dazzlingly white.
Dazzling clothes, yeah.
Right? Let's think a little bit about dazzling images. We already had this pre-Lent. The first Sunday, the final Sunday before Lent is Transfiguration.
Yeah, where Jesus is transformed into the white.
And who shows up with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Moses.
And Elijah, right?
Yeah.
And so this question of what is the symbolism of dazzlingly white or dazzlingly whatever
yeah.
bright figures,
mm-hmm.
in some ways it's a reminder of who is this Jesus, right?
I wonder if in using that similar kind of imagery, if Luke is even insinuating that it is, again, Moses and Elijah.
That's a powerful question.
Because mm-hmm. We always kind of assume it's like just some angels, but that's not, angels don't look like men in
right.
dazzling clothes.
No, angels right? are scary beyond belief for the most part.
And when there's an angel, there's always this do not be afraid.
Right. And there's no do not be afraid here.
Yeah.
Which means that they must not be that scary.
Mm-hmm. So who is heralding Jesus?
You yeah. know? Which thinking about it from that perspective, that also ties it in with Luke's narrative of justice and of this new kingdom being totally different than an earthly world
mm-hmm.
of how the power works, because it reaffirms that Jesus not being there is being affirmed by those who have already been active participants, if not leaders,
mm-hmm.
in a different type of world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Moses is leading people to freedom away from the power structures
yeah.
that have kept people entrapped. Yes, there's a lot of hot mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
But like Elijah has had in some ways this proclamation, these experiences as well. So in some ways it's holding up that lens to look through, I guess.
And they're prophets of faithfulness talking to these women who have been nothing but faithful, right?
Ooh, I like that a lot. That's mm-hmm. In other words, it's Luke's nod to these women
mm-hmm.
are powerful and have meaning.
Yeah, these are the faithful ones, just like we were the faithful ones, right? Because when we're working through Moses in my Bible study, we're working through Exodus, and a lot of it obviously is about Moses and Bible study. So we talked a lot about how all the Israelites turn away from God, and the minute that Moses is gone too long on the mountain, they make the calf and worship that, and Moses is kind of the only one who like remains faithful.
And tries to pull them back every time.
And when we think about the disciples, the minute like Jesus is dead, they're terrified, right? And in the other stories, they're in. Do we not get the upper room in Luke?
We don't get the same Passover type of story. Okay. We get it with the triumphal entry, right? That they're going to be present.
Sure. And but, they're there for the Passover, but not after Jesus' death when they're shut away in the upper room. But we, you know, with the other gospels, we get that idea that they're scared and they're like turning away from Jesus. And there's this denial where the women were there. They were the only ones who are named too at the crucifixion. Right. The women, the crying and all of that. Right. Mourning.
So in some ways, thinking about this Easter story, right, what we have is we have Luke saying witness matters, and witness matters because witness also affirms what we are seeing, right? That, and this is really, to me, this is kind of, I mean, to go all philosophical, this is kind of I, thou, Martin Buber. This is like my understanding of how I am experiencing this is reliant upon you. I am not myself without you, right?
Do you think the women, what do you say more about
that? What I mean by that is Jesus' resurrection is not the same without the women.
Yeah.
Jesus' resurrection is not the same without Moses and Elijah or that illusion, right?
Yeah.
That in some ways the created story about this is held by that. So it matters that they're there.
The ancestors and the witnesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, does it matter, like, in our understanding of God? Maybe. But, like, it definitely matters from a social perspective.
The communion
like the community,
of saints.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just want to name that because I think that's really profound that Luke is basically saying, look, resurrection is not a boys' club thing. It is not how you expect it. It is not about power and might. It is not about kingliness in the classic sense. This is about faithfulness to God, faithfulness to one another, and also about seeking freedom and seeking justice and entrance into a kingdom that is totally different. And guess what? The people that first get to see this are the ones that you don't expect to see this.
Yeah. And I love the part too, how the two men in dazzling clothes, they like remind, they're like, don't you remember what Jesus said? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. It's like a like you were saying, I can't do this without you. It's a shared faith experience.
It is.
It's a, when your faith wanes, I will help you remember what your faith means.
And this is even amplified in Luke's even more because then the women go back and they tell all the dudes and the dudes don't believe them.
Yeah.
Right. Because
those boogers.
I mean, they're like, this is what happened. This is and. The guys don't get it, in part because they are in that, in some ways, they're in that old mindset of, no, this isn't how it's supposed to happen. How could it possibly happen this way?
We know Jesus told us this a lot of times, but we're just still not sure.
Right, whereas the women are like,
no.
Jesus doesn't do things the normal way.
Yeah.
Like, God is moving in new ways. Of course this is what happened. Can you believe this happened?
Yeah, and I think with what you're saying, too, about it's the unexpected people who are the ones who are carrying the faith, we get it's Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of James.
Right.
Which, in the other stories, right, it's Mary, Jesus's mother, who's also there.
Right.
But she's not named in Luke's gospel.
No.
Here. So I think that's interesting. And Joanna, the mother of James... I don't know if anybody talks about her ever.
You mean Joanna?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's just, Mary, the mother of James, and Joanna. Joanna is just like a name thrown in there, and you're like, who's that?
Yeah, who is Joanna?
Yeah.
And Mary, the mother of James. Jesus's brother.
Right, so it's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, who we don't know.
Okay.
Maybe
so,
Jesus'
yes, Mary,
mom.
Jesus' mother, Joanna.
But at the
I
same
misread
time,
it.
But at the same time, like, it's this question of, like, who is, what is the symbolism of that, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's it's the person who has already been criticized by the disciples of being too close to this, mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. who Jesus has already been like, guys, she gets it right. You guys keep screwing up, right?
Yeah.
Jesus's mom, who Jesus has rejected family, right? If we think about gospel stories, like early on, that Jesus has eschewed that familial authority. He's flipped everything on its head. Which for most people is like, oh, mm-hmm. you're breaking up with your family, man.
We don't love that, right?
We don't like that. And yet his mom is there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then this unnamed. So in some ways, you've got this bookends. You've got the person that he has rejected, mm-hmm. who shouldn't be rejected, mom. Mm-hmm. You have the person who society says should be rejected, but Jesus doesn't reject, mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene. And then you have a woman that we don't even know who she is.
Joanna.
So in some ways, this is the perfect trinity of people, mm-hmm. because it's like Jesus is like, whether you are expected mm-hmm. or unexpected in this story, mm-hmm. you are the witness, mm-hmm. right? Or Luke is saying that, right? Like the witnesses are that, and it's totally unexpected that it's just the women, right?
And
like
there's other women too, right?
Right, yeah.
It's more than that. So maybe it's Mary and Martha, you know.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, the other people. Maybe the Syrophoenician woman's there.
Right, woman at the well, maybe. I mean, like, you know, Eudy and Syntyche from Philippines. Who knows who's there? Like, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think the cool thing is what Luke is doing is Luke is saying, but who is here? And does it make sense that they're here? And for Luke, it absolutely makes sense because he's like,
this is the point.
This is the point of resurrection, those of death and resurrection of Christ.
Those who are naming the resurrection are the ones that you didn't want to listen to, right? You know, we get like the soldier, right?
Yeah.
Who names it. And all those people who are very unexpected throughout the entire Gospels who are naming the resurrection.
Right. In other words, the outsider is actually the insider.
Yeah.
Right? The last shall be first. That like the... Mm-hmm. The people that we do not expect to have access to God and to resurrection mm-hmm. are the first ones that are the ones naming it mm-hmm. and seeing it and bearing witness to it.
Where the in crowd doesn't even believe it, even though they've been following the whole time.
Right. And so it's interesting to think about this, too, because we also don't have like this notion of Jesus being there like the gardener, but like we also don't have the women not believing that like he's resurrected, right? Like where have you taken him, right? That mm-hmm. you know, there isn't that hesitation, that there's this notion of they remembered the words, in other words, that why are you looking for the living among the dead? Mm-hmm. They remembered that, wait a second, this must mean that Jesus is alive. Mm-hmm. That they
And
believe
then they remembered
that.
His words.
They believe that. And it makes me wonder, you know, in our own lives, and I think especially right now in the state of the world, how do we remember that in the midst of death and darkness and struggle? Because it is a lot easier to be like looking and be like, to like show up at a tomb and be like, oh man, they took a body, right? Like, or what happened?
Grave robbers,
right? Or like to seek despair or to say, to be pessimistic or to assume the worst mm-hmm. or to even spin false hope, be like, oh, this must be something crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, rather than be like, wait a second, Jesus talked to us.
Yeah. Remember what he said? And we were like, nah.
Yeah. And I guess I wonder for myself, like just thinking about like as we walk through Holy Week and we see Jesus at the Last Supper, whether that's pre-Passover or Passover, depends on the gospel, right? Like, but like that he's gathering with his disciples who are about to betray him, and he's showing love and care for them. Mm-hmm. He's betrayed by those he loves, but he never rejects them. Mm-hmm. That they are the ones that reject him. And that in this state of the world, I guess I wonder how quickly do I flip through the phone and doom scroll the news? Mm. Or how quickly do I navigate the weight of the world and forget that I've also been told that there's something more, right? Mm-hmm. That I think I often go to the tomb expecting death, rather than remembering that I've already been told that I should go to the tomb not expecting death.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make any sense? Like, I'm just...
No, I think it does. I'm just thinking about it. Yeah.
I'm wrestling with this notion of how do we sit with the pain and the despair and death, because it's very real.
And how do
you... And Holy Saturday is real. It's time between death and life. And that's a tenuous space, but...
And how do you balance not having, like, toxic positivity?
Ooh, totally.
Like, how do you still carry... Because the women have seen Jesus die on the cross, right? So, of course, they are carrying that. And when we look at the news, we see the death of those... Like, think about Ukraine, right? The death of many and the continuation of it. And it's not going to end anytime soon. So, how do we name the dead but also look for the living? And
it's
such a hard balance.
It is, but I think it's also, it's saying that, so one of the things that I guess that I think about with this is that we have to actually sit, we have to go to the tomb, expect, we have to know that there is death.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to know that it sucks.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's not saying that life is like a feel good story. Either.
Right. This isn't, I mean, there's still, I mean, okay, Luke keeps telling us more stories, but like, mm-hmm. but like, there's tension here.
Yeah. It's not saying like, okay, you're doom scrolling for a while, but you might see a story of like a puppy, you know, saving somebody. That's not the finding the living among the dead.
No.
Right. It's much bigger than that.
It's,
right.
It's, I think to me, in some ways, it's a profound frame shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that in the midst of all of this death that we know is human, that we know is part of being earthly life.
That resurrection
does exist.
Yeah. And maybe we need to talk a little bit about resurrection.
Yeah. Let's
and do how it. That's different than just life or feel good or positivity.
Right. Because in our world, resurrection is bunnies and chocolate and flowers and new birth, which some of that comes from.
I don't hate
which
that.
I don't hate it either.
Having a real peeps moment this year. You know?
Oh man, you doing a diorama?
No.
No? Come on.
A diorama.
Oh yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Washington Post, I don't know if they brought it back. They used to do a peeps diorama competition every year for Easter.
Okay.
Easter time. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Okay. So people would like do peeps dioramas with peeps in different places, like they've done Supreme Court and like ball games.
So
and
I could do a little resurrection scene
totally.
With peeps.
Yeah,
I like
absolutely.
It. No, but I did get these ones that were wildberry flavored. Mm.
Okay, that's
very
just weird.
Good. Very good.
So speaking about resurrection and not peeps.
Resurrection and not peeps. But our peeps who are resurrected.
Our peeps. Yeah. But it does raise a really interesting question of like, how do we understand what resurrection is? And this is a tricky thing because as Christians, we proclaim the resurrection of the body. In the Apostles' Creed, many of us have plans to either a green burial, cremation, or have that. So there's this question of what does that mean literally? How do we understand that? Mm-hmm. Right? And in some ways, I think I'll just point out, like, this is a much bigger conversation, but it's a rejection of a Platonic notion of separation between body and spirit. That that Christian identity is that our wholeness, who we are, is resurrected.
Yeah.
That body and spirit. So it's not this notion that like I'm going to have a perfect body when I get to heaven, mm-hmm. Which I personally reject as an amputee because I'm like this is part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a perfect body. Like I don't want part of who I am to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
That this is part of who I am. Do I want pain to be gone? Sure, absolutely. But like, mm-hmm. do I want who I am to be gone? No.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in our tradition. It is that the wholeness, the completeness of who we are as a beloved child of God
mm-hmm.
is found in new life.
In the resurrection.
It's found in the resurrection. That is restored. That our wholeness
mm-hmm.
is restored. And so that is what we see Jesus mm-hmm. doing.
Yeah, and that it's different than simply being raised from the dead, too, because we get that comparison between Lazarus.
Right, Lazarus is going to die again.
Yes, Lazarus is raised from the dead, and like you said, he will die, but Jesus is resurrected, and resurrection is that wholeness where there won't be death anymore.
Resurrected to eternal life.
Yes, death is over.
Right?
Yeah.
So death is over, pain is over, suffering is over. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, what we witness in resurrection in comparison to Holy Week, mm-hmm. is that we see the powers of the world,
ooh.
Injustice mm-hmm. and brokenness in play. And then in resurrection, we see the powers in the world defeated,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not just that death is defeated.
Yeah.
It's that ultimately all the instruments that think they have control
mm-hmm.
are broken.
Yeah, I don't want to get, because that's really good. I just have one little interjection.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Also thinking if it is Elijah and Moses, it makes sense with, you know, Moses dies, right?
Yeah.
But Elijah is the one who's taken up in the chariots, right?
Yep.
So we get this death and resurrection theme with the two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we.
Sorry, but you continue what you were saying.
No, that's really powerful to think about that, like, that.
They are the representatives of death and resurrection.
And also of what life is. With God looks like
mm-hmm.
that it looks like a death that is not death, mm-hmm. right? That, like, I mean, Moses is held up as this ideal, mm-hmm. right? But that even in death, there is, like, with putting that next to Elijah, next to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
we get like, no, this is not the end of the story,
mm-hmm. right? Both these things are held together.
That there's that tension,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and so. So one of the powerful things, and I think this is important to name, is that resurrection is not to say, don't live your life now,
mm-hmm.
That all is for naught, that this is all about something eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Because scripturally, eternity is also partially here and now. The kingdom of God is breaking into our world.
Mm-hmm.
But what resurrection does allow us to do is it allows us to set aside those things that do not give life
mm-hmm.
to be able to seek life.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we don't have to be bound to the confines of structures that create death.
Mm-hmm.
The
women can witness it. They can be the leaders. They can speak
right.
the truth, right?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it means that we can focus on things like justice mm-hmm. and beauty and things that actually matter in our world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that in some ways the resurrection shifts the frame
mm-hmm.
entirely.
Yeah.
So that all of a sudden it's no longer... Pilate doesn't have the last word, right?
No.
But like,
in the midst of death, there is hope in life.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, to me, that's what it's saying.
And there's hope that what we do can matter.
Yeah.
Too. It's mm-hmm. in some ways, it actually elevates our ability to be present and to do
mm-hmm.
Because it allows us to no longer fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear who has power over us, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So... I don't know. I mean, like,
that's a lot. There's a lot in this passage.
There's
right?
a lot in
because
this passage.
Because there's a lot with resurrection.
There is. And there's a lot in Easter. But I think, like, so we need to wrap up. But, like, I really feel that, like, one of the beauties of Luke, and I think that you've drawn that out again by bringing us back to those you know, dazzling figures, like, that Luke's focus is what does this empty tomb and what does resurrection mean to us? What does it free us to do? What does God taking away death and taking away military power, taking away judicial power
mm-hmm.
and injustice in that way
mm-hmm.
free us to actually do
yeah.
and be?
Literally taking away the power of the Roman Empire to kill what is good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking away sin, total separation,
mm-hmm.
right? And saying, you don't have to live separated.
Mm-hmm.
From what is
you.
Good,
mm-hmm.
I'm with you. And Luke, the beauty of this is Luke spins this in a way that says, and who needs to hear this the most? Those of you that have absolutely no power.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who have been rejected from society.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes especially women and women who have struggled or who have been rejected by family and disowned, like Jesus's mom or like Mary Magdalene, right? Like,
you set that up, Jesus.
Right? Like, I mean, but that,
mm-hmm.
that, like, they have no station
yeah.
in society. And here Luke is saying they do.
And who do you need to listen to?
Because they know what resurrection really means.
Yeah.
And so I guess my challenge to all of you is, as you navigate this story this week and Easter, is to hear, how do you need to hear this story? Mm-hmm. Where do you need life to be spoken to? Mm-hmm. In a way that shakes things up a little bit, and maybe frees you.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about, like, you know, setting aside the peeps or the candy, or like grabbing the peeps or the
candy.
Don't
take my peeps.
But like, but also just like thinking about, like, in the state of this world right now, where is that resurrection hope in our, as we read the news? Mm-hmm. Where is it as we still wrestle with a pandemic that continues?
Yeah. And real and authentic hope, not just a feel good
right.
kind of thing.
And where is it in all of our lives, in the messiness and the brokenness of still being human in the midst of these major tragedies going on?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that our lives still continue. Mm-hmm. There is still brokenness in homes and families with individuals. Like, life is not easy. And I guess what I really hope for all of you is that you hear this Easter story the way the women did, mm-hmm. which is that when it is a hard time or a hard day, that in the midst of that, you hear the voices of our ancestors, the voices of God, the voices of those who carry these stories, Elijah, Moses, whoever it is, calling to us to remember what God has promised us.
Yeah, and then that you have the courage to share it.
Yeah. And to share that hope, mm-hmm. that there is an empty tomb. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So may that hope be yours this season, and may it break through.
Yes, absolutely.
So on that note, we'll wrap up for today. Blessed Holy Week to all of you. We'll aim to be back next Tuesday. Diving into, I think it's probably Doubting Thomas, because it's Doubting Thomas Sunday every time.
Doubting Thomas.
So we'll tackle that next week. God bless him. Thomas. But blessings, friends, during this season and these days, and know that our prayers journey with you in the darkness, but also in the hope that you are walking toward that emptiness of tomb, and to believe it, but also to be able to share it. So go in peace, friends. Once again, you've been listening to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
Be well.